Father, thank you so much for that blessed hope that lies ahead, for when your Son will come back and make all wrongs right, where there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears, and no more fears. Thank you for this day, Father, that we can live it for you to the best of our abilities, that we get really blessed by thinking of your word and thinking how good you are. Pray, Father, for our health and strength and soundness of mind, and that today you get the glory and your word gets magnified. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Please be seated. I heard some people got ministered to and healed last night. Somebody said last night, after people got prayed for and stuff, somebody said, I think some people might have got healed. Well, yeah, that's why you do one of those things. It's not for show. It's not for any of that. And some of you probably got healed and you didn't even know it. Because, you know, when you get ministered to, the cause is removed. It isn't always the symptoms. You might have symptoms of a bad knee, but it's because you're not breathing right. I mean, God has, there's a cause to every problem. And sometimes the causes to our problems might not be that which it appears to be by our senses. So you got ministered to, you got healed. That's the way, I mean, why even do that? What are we doing here? It's a manifestation of power. I heard about a few tremendous healings last night. Somebody's heart moved into their knee or something, I don't know. Something moved around and somebody else got healed of a hip and a back, and some, I know that. And people got healed. Man, that's the power of God manifestation. You think about that. That's something else. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what happened. Fantastic truth. Fantastic truth. Boy, oh boy, God is so good. He knows stuff, you know. He knows what's going on with our weird little hearts. He even knows more about our little hearts than we do. He kind of sneaks up on us and takes care of them, you know. And you go, boy, I feel better. God must have done something really good. Something else. Somebody else here has been waking up in pain every day. Today did not wake up in pain. They were healed. Boy, last night was a tremendous, yesterday, the whole week. All right. I just want to thank you all for coming. You know, these things and these guys that I get to work with, they're so kind to me and all my idiosyncrasies and have been for many, many years. I came here in 1982 and been at the same house ever since. I just thank these guys for their stand on God's word and for the love that they have for God and the love that they have for you. You know, this body, it's just like the human body, is built a certain way. And by when the body functions together and everybody gets to do what they're supposed to do, it's a wonderful sight. And you help make that available this weekend by functioning and doing what you do. And that's a really cool thing, because it brings out the best in the other believer. It brings out the best in everybody when you just do what you do. You don't have to worry about, you know, showmanship or impressing someone or any of that. I've been blessed through the years, I tell you. Ever since I've gotten the word, it's just been glory, hallelujah, all the way. And, you know, I've made some huge blunders in my life, and I've said things I wish I hadn't have said. Joe's teaching helped me a lot. I've made mistakes, but I'll tell you one mistake I don't think I've ever made and I don't plan on ever make is I put forth an effort and I try. I try every day to do my best, and if it even makes me look stupid but will help somebody else, I don't care. And I just want to thank you for coming because of your life and your love. It's helped everyone else in here, whether you've even talked to them or not, your prayers, your love, your life, it makes my life better. Your life makes my life wonderful. My life sometimes does not make my life wonderful. Just so I share that with you. Sometimes my life makes my life miserable. But because of your love, it gets better. So thank you. Thank you for coming. My prayer for this week, like it is so oftentimes, it doesn't really vacillate or change too much, was that our vision for our lives, our vision for God's word moving to increase, our vision. You know, how could it not if we believe the word of God that was taught this week? So our vision to grow. I pray for healing. For healing wholeness in our physical bodies, our healing wholeness of our hearts, of our crazy brains. You know, I don't know when it was, about the middle of the week, and it all got covered in the Word, but there's just a mass epidemic of condemnation and fear that has to go. That kind of stuff can cause all kinds of problems in your bodies. And we don't need to be afraid, and we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be condemned because it's all been done for us. You know, the medical field is, you know, it's like rolling dice. You know, it says one thing one week because somebody did a test, and then it says something the next week. But I know that worry and anxiousness and fear and condemnation, I can make a blanket statement, is not good for us. And it can affect us in a very harmful way because they're starting to do all this stuff. Everything now, the big thing is the gut. Everything is in the gut. Well, yeah. Well, maybe the cause of that is not what you're eating. Maybe the cause of that is the way you think. I don't know about you, but when I get real worried or concerned or anxious, my stomach hurts. And it's not because of the cauliflower I didn't eat. We should eat good, but my point is condemnation, fear, anxiousness is just no bueno. It's not good. So I prayed that this week would contribute to our healing. I think the first verse or close to the first verse that I shared was the theme verse from whenever advance it was. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their fears or destructions. It says it both ways, but, you know, he sent his word. His word is the thing that heals us, and we've had an abundance of it. Another thing that I pray for is deliverance, spiritual deliverance of maybe devilish things that have plagued us for a while, that they could leave. You know, I said to somebody this week, or first or second day, you know, they'd had a nightmare or something. And I said, well, light makes manifest darkness and will eventually dispel it. And I didn't feel bad about saying that because that's the truth. The more we pour the light in our lives, the more the darkness is removed. It makes a good case for pouring the light on, doesn't it? Because we don't want to walk in darkness. We want to walk in the light as he is the light, as it says in Ephesians. That's how we want to walk. And that's how God designed us to walk with the Christ in us. Walk in light. Walk in love. See? Walk circumspectly. And another prayer for the week was that God would give us some sort of direction in our life. I just love the word of God and how it says, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way also unto him and he shall bring it to pass. That's somewhere in the Bible. And it says in someplace else, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I would really love in my life, if we're on a consistent basis, that my path could be led by God and that I would have the whatever, to follow that path. It says in Philippians that God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what God does. He works in us. If you don't have it all figured out when you think you need to have it figured out, that's all right. God's got the right way. And so when you surround yourself with the Word of God like we have for this week, a lot of great things pop up in your mind. Maybe there's some real bad things that pop up, but then that gets erased with the light. But a lot of great things. So many great decisions through the years of my life, since I got in the Word in February of 1971, has been a result of being around an abundance of God's Word. And when, so oftentimes when we're surrounded with an abundance of God's Word, and we're surrounded with God's love living in people, when the mystery is living, when the one body is functioning, it's so very healing. It's so visionary. It's so helpful to every aspect of our life, every part. What did we hear in 5 days? We heard teachings. One on Ephesians 6:10 and its context. One on being strong in God's word. One teaching being strong in God's grace. One teaching on being strong in God's righteousness and peace. One, the things freely given to us of God. One on believing versus fear. One on believing the word, not facts or sense knowledge. Get the lead out of my head. That was good. One on believing the word and not the theories of men. One on believing that you could beat up a 12-foot guy. One on always triumphing in Christ. One on being strong and speaking in tongues. One being strong and walking by the Spirit. And then we heard great teaching on God's love for, yesterday, we should have just gone home last night. God's love for his people, our love for each other, forgiveness. Holy moly, what a teaching. What a teaching. And then Bob titled it Love Never Fails, I guess, but that great Jesus and Judas, man, oh man. And so, you hear all these great things, and of course I had a teaching all planned for today, but forget that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. It says in verse 10, and you probably have learned this week if you didn't already know it. Finally, my brethren, and some of you young teens and stuff, when you go home and your parents start quizzing you about what you learned, just quote that verse. And if you learn that verse, you learned a lot, not just memorizing it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, or his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord. And the very first day that we met, I shared how to be strong in the Lord, one thing that's absolutely foundational and we should prioritize in our life is being strong in God's word. And again, I've traveled pretty well in my Christian life. Meaning, I've got to see a lot of things happen that are great. I've got to see signs, miracles, and wonders every year of my walk in God's word. And I know I'm not an educated guy, but I knew as soon as I got in the word who buttered my bread. I knew God was really big and awesome, and that he loved me enough to pull me out of the cesspools that I was in and allow me to be born again as his child. I believed that then, I believe it now. And he's been able to work with a very imperfect human and help me. Help me see the great things that are biblical in nature. You know, I've seen healings. I've seen deliverance in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives. And you know, sometimes, you know, like Israel in the Old Testament, one of the things they were supposed to do on the Sabbath day, which was a day of rest, as you know, and they weren't supposed to do anything, but one thing they were required to do was they were required to remember. They were required to remember how God pulled them out of Egypt. They were to remember the great deliverance that was wrought on behalf of them by God. And it's really a great practice. Too often the things we remember are negative, but it's a great practice. It'd be a great daily practice for you to take, oh, a couple minutes every day and just think about all the things that you've seen God do. And of course, some of the people that were Israel were never part of that great deliverance, but they were still supposed to remember how God delivered them. So it doesn't always have to be the great deliverance in our lives, although that's a good thing. But think about some of the great things that God has done for other people that you're aware of. And man, that just gets you so thankful, because that's God. I look around this room, you know, and I've had the privilege of being, you know, like a fossil in New Jersey. I sit there and I talk to guys like Patty Hannon, who I've known since he's a kid, and, you know, Aaron since forever. And you see the growth in the life. Joshua, holy moly, man. I didn't know what to make of him when he first came and did fellow labors. Oh, the questions, holy mackerel, just tortured me. How many times can a guy like me say, I don't know? I don't know. I don't know. Or, that's a stupid question. No, but just to see people grow. You know what? That's the greatest thing, I think, in my life, is to watching people like you grow. Well, you know, if we're to be followers of God as his dear children, he said he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in the truth or something. And I believe in my life, that's the greatest joy in my life, is to watch somebody grow. Watch people break through the prisons they were in and get free and delivered. Like, for instance, in my own life, I can't believe that I've had two great wives. How does that happen? You're hard-pressed to get one in your whole life. I mean, because of God. That's deliverance. But that's probably the greatest joy I have in my life, is to watch people grow. And one of the greatest joys of my life is if I get to grow, you know. I like to do that, too. I like to break through and go through barriers, even at 67. Because, you know, when you get older, you have the tendency to fossilize and just, you know, status quo. It shouldn't be that way. What'd you say, Holy Moses or whatever his name was, 80 years old, right? You know, old Noah chipping away at this ark for 120 years, building something that he didn't even know existed. Nobody knew what it was. I mean, you can go through the Abraham, you know, looking at that little thing and for 22 years, you know, and finally had a baby. It's in the book. The things that God does for us and is doing for us is just incredible. So I'd like you to go to Psalms. I think that first day also I'd mentioned how David was a man after God's own heart. And I made mention of Psalm 119 and how sometimes it's a good idea to read that once in a while, and I thought that we'd close here. Because God places such an emphasis, not just here, but all through the Word. The way we get to know somebody is by spending time with them. The way we get to know someone is by listening to them and having fellowship or talking to them or whatever you want to call it, and also seeing how they act. And the way we get to know God is not much different. We talk to Him. But you know, I think so oftentimes we don't think it's a two-way conversation. I don't talk to Erica on the phone and never expect Erica to talk back. Well, God, He can talk. He can talk to a bunch of people at the same time. So we talk to God by praying. We talk to God often. And we read His Word so we get to know Him. So He can be our strength in every aspect of our life, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so David was a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, because he wasn't perfect. He was a man after God's own heart because his heart always went to God, even when he screwed up. I love the freedom that God has given us as children. There's only one thing that can make a person free, and that's truth. Jesus Christ said that in John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that means free from every fetter, every chain, every fetter that binds us. Truth is what breaks through. Truth is what helps. Truth is what heals. And so the way we get to know God is from His Word, whether it's written in His Word or whether you operate the manifestations of the Spirit and God would tell you something that's humanly impossible for you by your senses to know anything, and then what to do about it. And to be able to go someplace and know what's going on spiritually, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether you should stay, whether you should leave. I do that wherever I go. And it's not a religious act, it's just something I've made a habit of. I pay attention, I watch. And then to be able to manifest God's power by believing Him in a supernatural way and seeing miracles, which happened last night, and seeing healings, which happened last night. And you know what? All nine of the manifestations were in operation last night, all nine. Pretty neat, and it wasn't hard. People believe in God and expecting God to do great things. That's what happened. So we'll read some of this. We'll see how far we go. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 119, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." That's how you become undefiled. You walk in God's word. "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, His word, and that seek Him with the whole heart." Blessed means to be happy, one of the definitions. The way we're happy is seeking God and His Word with our whole heart. That'll make us happy. "They also do iniquity," or blow it. "They walk in His ways." Oh, do no iniquity, sorry. "They do iniquity as they walk in His ways." Nope, it's not what it says. "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments." That's a good one. Think of 2 Timothy 2:15 right now. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be" what? Ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They're not going to be ashamed when they have respect unto all Thy commandments. "I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" It's a good question. That's a great question. How is a young person going to cleanse his way? Well, here it is. "By taking heed thereunto according to Thy word." Yeah, that's how. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Not half-stepping. All in. All in. All in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay? Not just kinda. Not just kinda. But all in. Got it? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. What a neat prayer. You know, he's talking here to God. People, when you talk to God, that's called prayer. And one thing I was going to share today is be strong in prayer. But really, this is a great example of someone being strong in a prayer life. Someone strong with their relationship with God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What a great reason to hide God's word in our heart so we don't blow it. You know, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I declare all the judgments of thy mouth. Boy, oh boy, why do you think God gave us a mouth? So we could be sarcastic all the time? So we could talk about gadgets? He gave us a mouth to speak God's word. That's why he gave us a mouth. He gave us a brain so that we could hold God's word in our head. With my lips, I've declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy word, thy testimonies, as much as all riches. Boy, you could stop there and think about and check your life out. All riches. Most people I've ever known that have been rich, most like one person. No, you know, that money doesn't make them happy. I will meditate in thy precepts, that's the word, and have respect unto thy ways. Isn't it great, like this week, Diane had a horrible cough. It was really hard for her. And at night, it was really, it amped up. There was a couple nights when we slept 3 hours here, and 4 hours. And I would just do my best to stay my mind on the scriptures. Just stay my mind and not get upset, not get mad, and just let the peace of God rule in my heart. And it worked. That's what happens when you meditate on God's word. It says in 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I love the word I will. You know, and David decided. He decided, he made a decision. His will was to delight in God's word. And that's a cool thing to delight in. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. What a prayer. Well, that's a quick prayer. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Why? So that I can live and keep your word. Open thou mine eyes. We sang that the other night, Open My Eyes. I love that song. That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Sounds like Ephesians prayer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you could know. See, here. Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Well, so are we. It says so. Right? We are foreigners to this world. This world is not our home. It was the same for David. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud and that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. People that don't do God's word don't have a great life. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Boy, David was on talking terms with God in a great way. When he was in trouble, he was in trouble. He cried out. There's one record in the Old Testament where David was so nervous and scared that his knees knocked together. Skinny, I have this idea of these skinny little knees. I don't know why. I didn't see his knees. Nor did you. His little knees shook together, and yet he'd cry out for God, and God would help him. God would hide him. He would take care of him when he was in exile. you know, boy, David had a lot of opportunities in his life. He had somebody after him a lot, you know. Let's go to verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. What heart? Help me understand your word. And here's the reason. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And so many of you do this, and I love this, especially you women. Ever since I've gotten the word, there's been more hunger for God's word by women than men. Ever since I've been in the word. Here it's 60-40. 60% women, 40% men. But the context is, what verse did I read? Oh, so that shall I talk of thy wondrous works. What happens, I know in my home with Diane, you know, and across the street, Debbie, they're always in God's word. And so, I mean it. They listen to tapes, they read articles, and every day, it seems like daily, you know, Diane's on the phone with Debbie Zeloff, he's on the phone with Debbie Penna, or Dorsey, it's all of them. They're always talking. But they're talking about God's wondrous works. You know, everybody sent these chain messages. This phone chain, you get on a message chain, there's 60 people on it, and your phone blows up every 20 seconds and you don't know what happened. I got to learn how to get off it. I don't even know how I got on it. But the ones that I'm on, you know, the people are giving you verses for the day and stuff like that. I just let, so that I might talk of all thy wondrous works. Man, I love that. If we're ever going to move the word over the world, or if we ever are going to have somebody come to fellowship, someone just might have to say something to someone else. Have you ever thought of it? It's pretty cool. I told you, research. Verse 35, make me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I love that because for the most part, we all do what we want to do. We do the things that we like to do. Well, why not make it the word that is the thing that we like to do, the thing that we delight in? Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty. Wow. Somebody, you know what? Another thing I love about these things, I never remember who teaches what, and I don't care because it's at the song. You got to get the song sung. You got to get it sung, and it doesn't matter who sings it. They all blend together for me. Somebody mentioned Galatians chapter 5, and it says in verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you what?
Free.
Here it says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. That's how we walk in liberty, even in our administration. The way we walk freely is by walking on God's word. It's not brain surgery. Verse 59, this is my comfort in my affliction. What is a comfort for David when he was bugged? And he was bugged a lot. Here it is, for thy word hath quickened me. The word is what gives us life. The word is what helps us get out of the funk. The word is what helps us with our anxiousness, our fears, our doubts, our worries, our heartaches, our headaches. That's what helps us, even at 12. And I know somebody got in here and they were a little young. People call all nervous, you know. Well, you know, I know what it is. I said, okay, bye. And I think that's exactly what I did. I said, don't tell me anymore. Goodbye. This is my comfort in my affliction. How many things? I spent an entire summer, 3.5 months, at the Way International headquarters in New Knoxville, Ohio, in 1973. I needed to get my life together, and I 73, I was 21. And the Way Corps would have that Big Shot Leadership Program that Dr. Worrell would teach every week at a Way Corps meeting, and every week I would go to the meeting, and I would sit in the front row. And Dr. Rohr would say, get out. So that was it. I thought maybe just once. Every week I went. I didn't care. I wasn't disappointed. I was disappointed. It was tragic, but I did it every week. I didn't care. And he was nice enough to just say, get out. Verse 59. I thought on my ways, and there's other people in here right now who have taken full advantage of the goodness of my kind old heart. And the one that's laughing the loudest is the biggest violator. How many times did you and Jimmy get to do stuff that I said, no?
Many times.
And I wouldn't say, yeah, that's okay, and hang up. I'd say, no. No married couples. No. No, you can't go. Huh? I did? Well, you didn't listen. Verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Turned his feet the right way because his head was the right way in the word. Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Man, I think of all the pickles that I've been in, all the different scenarios that I've been in, and I've been in a million, because you stick your foot in stuff. I do it all the time, having no idea how God's going to get me out of this or get somebody else out of it. I always used to call it living off the edge of a cliff, just walking off the cliff. And I've liked doing that my whole life. I hope I still like it. But God's word is better than thousands in gold and silver. I'll tell you that. Well, I don't have to. The word did. Verse 77. Let thy tender, not mercies, thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. Somebody covered grace, right? Who covered grace? Yeah. Oh, God, what a teaching. Jeez. Oh, that was just a great teaching. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. Boy, you know how when you're really loved, you want to do stuff. The motivation that you would have to do things isn't because of fear or some false sense of obligation. I want to do the word. You know, and it helps if you've got an overseer or a bunch of believers that you know believe in you. It helps a lot. If you're with people, believers, overseers who respect you, if you have people, believers, overseers who will help bring the best out in you and encourage you. If you have believers or overseers who will show you how much you're needed. This thing can't get done if that isn't that tender mercy being extended. It has to happen. Otherwise, even if you get things done, it's a counterfeit. You know, you fill, you know, big buildings and all that stuff. I don't even care about any of that. I'm thankful for God's people that I have the privilege of fellowshipping with. And I don't know, it's just great. What verse did I just read? Yeah. Tender mercies, yeah. Willingness, all that's those great definitions. Verse 83, for I am become like a bottle in a smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. Geez, it was tender mercies before. Now it's help me make alive by thy loving kindness. Boy, oh boy, love never fails. It says it in the word, and a couple people taught it, I suppose, last night or yesterday. Love never fails. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. God's loving kindness makes us alive. It makes us want to do stuff. I want to do stuff because I'm loved, because I have God's tender mercies extended toward me by God and by you. Makes me want to do a better job. And again, not because of some false sense of obligation, but because I want to. I want to. I like doing what I do. I like my life. I like being busy. I like being with God's people. This is like the greatest, let me say it, the greatest vacation. Verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day." That's what he thought about. That's what he thought about. Verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's what lit David's path. That's what gave him direction. Oh, and Psalm 119 has some verses in it that I just absolutely adore, because it's things that you can hate. Verse 113 says, "I hate vain thoughts." That's what he hated. He hated vain thoughts. We should hate vain thoughts a little more. But, "Thy law do I love." That's what he loved. And the more you love the word, the more you'll hate vain thoughts. 128. "Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." I make statements like this all the time, and sometimes believers get mad at me. I don't like bad stuff. Some of you still like bad stuff, or at least put up with it. I don't like it. I don't like it. It bugs me. But then, you know, I like other bad stuff that other people don't, you know. But we need to not like things that aren't good. That's for sure. What verse am I in? Yeah, he hated every false thought. Verse 130 is a familiar one to most of you. "The entrance of thy words." Now, gosh, "the entrance of thy words giveth light." It makes a good case for the entrance of God's word, to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Save our souls. Make whole your soul by being meek and receiving God's word. It's the entrance of God's word that giveth light. And this is a huge one. It giveth understanding. It helps us understand why. It helps us understand things. And it's the entrance of God's word that gives us light and gives us understanding. Man, it's fantastic. Verse 140, "Thy word is very pure." It's pure. Somebody talked about that too, purified seven times. "God's word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Verse 149, "Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness." See, this is prayer. Talking things over with God is a really good thing. You know, there's different kinds of prayer, but one type of prayer is just talking to him. Why are you always bugging him about what you want? I need, I need. You sound like, "What about Bob?" You know, I need, I want. Well, there's that type of prayer too, but just talk things over with him. "Hi, God, here I am. I'm ready to go. What you got today? What are we going to do? How's things going up there?" No, I don't know about that. "Sorry, Father, it's okay. But thy word is very pure. The servant heareth it." Oh yeah, verse 149. "Hear thy voice, my voice, according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment." 160. "Thy word is true from the very beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Some of my favorite fellowships through the years have been fellowships just like this, or someone just read the word, chat. When I approach these things or advances or anything else, in my mind, when I have the privilege of sharing or leading a song or whatever, I pretend it's my fellowship. I pretend it's in my living room, you know. So it's more comfortable and less formal that way. I suppose there's a time for formality, but I'm not really good at formality, so I choose to think that way. And it helps me present God's word how I feel like he wants it presented. It doesn't have to be a show. You don't need to make a huge impression by your tremendous whatever. Charisma. Especially if that's not how you are. Okay, here we go. Back to this and enjoying this. Thy word is true from the very beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great riches, it should read. Boy, there's times when God will open his word up to us, and you'll see something for the first time, and you just go ape bananas. It just, you're like, wow. What's the name of that word? Synesis, is it? Where it's like rivers flow together in your brain, you know, and it's just like, what? And it could be a verse that you've heard 9 million times, but then all of a sudden it's more and more clear, and it's, wow, it's like finding treasure. Booty. I rejoice at thy word as one finds great spoil. Verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Here he is crying to God. And that's not a bad idea either. You know, if you ever look that up in the Old Testament, every time, and as screwed up as the people were, every time they cried out to God, he delivered them. It makes a good case for crying out to God. Not in a fake way, but with all your guts, everything that's in there. Just, and the word cry sometimes means shout. It's just like, help me. He wrote a song about that too. Help me, Lord, take a stand upon your word because I know it's true. Yes, I do. Let my cry come near before thee. Give me understanding according to thy word. Understanding, man. Man. Verse 170. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Boy, what a neat prayer. Deliver me according to what your word says, Father. Whatever it is that your word says, that's what I'd like. I'd like to close a little bit in John 17. I'm just going to read this, I think. Because it's a prayer of Jesus Christ. You know, the word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, it says in Philippians 2:5. And here, you know, Jesus Christ is just praying. He's just talking things over with God. And it's kind of neat to look and observe what he prayed for. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. What a neat thing. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Look at his heart. That they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, if Jesus Christ was God, he sure talked to himself a lot. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Out of the world. I love that. I gave him the word which thou gave me out of the world. thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. What a prayer. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God has given us a word. We give people the word that God has given us. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. He's asking God to take care of them. And they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What a heart, that they could have his joy fulfilled in their lives. I have given them thy word. That's what he gave them. That's what Jesus Christ gave them. To think that we could do something else. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The world hated them. Hasn't changed any. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're set apart because of the truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. Yeah. Something. We are too. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. That people could be set apart. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. It's cool. He wasn't just praying for the people then, but the people that would come in the future. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. He's seated in the heavenlies, and so are we. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. And it says in Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Something, isn't it? O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That God's love could be in us, something, and we have Christ in us. So I want to thank you again for coming. Father, thank you for the word that we've had the privilege of hearing this week. Thank you, Father, for the privilege it's been to be with your people. Thank you for the healing wholeness and the deliverance that has happened and that it can maintain in their lives, and that we can speak your word with all love to ourselves and to those that are around us and those that we see in this world. Pray, Father, for the upcoming weeks to be the best weeks of our entire lives, that you can open yourself unto us like a sunflower to the sun, that we can see signs, miracles, and wonders like we have this week. And I just thank you for everyone who's helped, for blessing them back for their giving. Pray for all the teachers and everybody else that even came and listened for 1 minute. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you. Thank you.